That's going.
So this is Paul Button.
Hello.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Paul.
Where do I start? Wow. If God can save me, he can save anyone. Hallelujah. So yeah, my name is Paul Button. I got saved 29 years ago, thanks to this lovely lady sat in the front, who's my wife. Can you stand up and say hi? And yeah, I mean, my life was a mess. And I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. But my grandfather was one that encouraged me to go to church, Sunday school, Boys Brigade. And then at the age of 13, he died in the mines. And I got angry because I'd lost my role model. And I stopped going to church. I hadn't been in the church for 20 years. Then I was in a very dark place. Suicidal thoughts. Got down on my knees. I can remember the first four lines of the Lord's Prayer. And I cried out to God, and the whole room where I was sat lit up. Every thought of suicide gone in an instant. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew it was good. And 2.5 years later, I wasn't expecting to share my testimony, but the Holy Spirit is just, you know. 2.5 years later, I might meet Julie, told her what had happened. She said, that was God, you need to get born again. Born again? What's that all about? Anyhow, give my life to Jesus. 6 months after that, he called me to do the work of an evangelist. I tried to do that in my own strength for 23 years. In my own strength, it doesn't work. 5 years ago, I finally surrendered. I've won more people for Jesus now. I've seen more miracles, more healings, off the scale. Why? Because I know that I can't do it, but he can through me. Once we surrender, he moves. Amen? Yeah. Sorry, you didn't mean to be that long.
No, Paul. So when God called you to be an evangelist,
yeah,
did he give you a whole list of stuff, and like, this is what you do, blah, 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 this is what it's about? And
no, I was reading my Bible 6 months after I came to the Lord, and I opened it on 2 Timothy 4:5, and six words just jumped out of my Bible. Big red letters, frighteningly actually, do the work of an evangelist. That was it. And no instructions. I didn't even know what an evangelist was. And you know, the great thing is this. We're not all called to the office of evangelist. I'm glad that I am, because if I was called to the office of pastor, I don't think I'd get very far, because I'm not anointed to be a pastor, although I love people. And pray for your pastor and your elders, because these guys, they've got a very hard job. Keep them in prayer. So not everyone's called to the office of evangelist, but every single one of us are called to share our faith. That's why we run the Kingdom Equipping School in this amazing building, because our job is to equip the saints to share their faith, whether it's in Tesco's, in the doctor's surgery. Every day you should be telling somebody about Jesus. Every day. And do you know what happens when you do that? People get saved. Yeah.
So that's the background. That's why we're glad that actually when we got to the end of Mark's gospel, where Jesus says, now go out and do the work of discipling people, bringing people into. We thought, yes, we know the guy that God will have to speak to us on this passage. So before you do, Paul, can I then read the remaining verses in chapter 16 that we got to? So we got to verse 8 last time, which is the first verse there. So trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. Wow. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. And afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to them, to two of them, while they were walking in the country. Those returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." And the Lord Jesus, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Amen.
Paul, Lord, speak through Paul, Lord, yes, that we may not just gain knowledge, but actually, Lord, by your Spirit, may we have more of what your Spirit would do in us through your word this morning. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Shall I use this one? Or?
Use that one, but you could use this.
Okay. Hallelujah. God is in this house. Yeah? Can you feel his presence? You guys on the worship, we thank you so much. I was so blessed. And we are so blessed by Pastor Matt and Alan and Stuart and the elders, because once a month on Saturdays we meet in this building. They kindly give us this building free of charge. We're a charity. We had 54 people sign up to our first ever Kingdom Equipping School. So it's a great honor and a great privilege to be here today. Is young Daniel here? There he is. Come here, my friend. Give it up for young Daniel. So this man is called to do the work of an evangelist. He's the youngest member. There's only two Gen Zers. Gen Zers or Gen Zers, I don't know what you say, but this guy was so blessed yesterday. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and I've never seen anyone cry so much. Tears of joy. And he was laying hands on people, commanding healing. And so keep your eye on this guy, because the Lord's going to use him. Bless you, mate. And you, young lady, I don't know your name, but the Lord God is going to use you mightily in his kingdom. Mightily. You're going to travel the nations. You're going to see wonders. You're going to see miracles. Just keep close to Jesus. Don't ever drift away like I did. Keep close to him. God's got amazing things for this church. I'm just going to pour some water. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? Come, Holy Spirit, bless your people with compassion for the lost. Bless your people with power, mighty power to do mighty miracles. Holy Spirit, we love you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came, that you died, that you rose again, and that you were seen by over 500 people over a period of 40 days. Lord, I ask today that you would anoint me afresh to speak your words, not mine. I pray that your words would penetrate the hearts of every person in this place today. I pray that your kingdom would come in power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I feel the Spirit of God saying to me that there are maybe one or two of you in this place today, and you've been coming to church for a long time, but you don't really know Jesus. You don't really love him like he wants you to love him. And I feel the Spirit of God saying to you that today is going to be your new birthday. We celebrated birthdays earlier. Physical birth is great, it's essential. But spiritual birth is what we need. Because the word says, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you will not enter. So I believe there are some in here today, you need to get born again. It's the greatest gift, the greatest privilege to come into his kingdom. So as I speak, just pray, and you know, if the Holy Spirit prompts you, I'm going to give you an invite to come and give you a big Welsh hug. We've just come back from a two-week mission in Patagonia. The Lord laid it on our hearts 2 years ago to go and do missionary work in Patagonia. My heart, first and foremost, is for Wales. That's why we call ourselves Wales Revival Alliance. The Lord asked me in Colombia 2.5 years ago, Paul, will you allow me to use you, me, to bring revival to Wales? I broke, sobbing. Lord, that you would use me. And you know what? He'll use every single one of you. If we keep our hearts pure and our hands clean, Psalm 24, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Only those with clean hands and a pure heart. It's so important, guys, in these end days, that we keep right with God. Then he can use us. He wants to use every one of you. There's nothing special about me. Nothing whatsoever. Apart from the fact that I'm born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe every word that Alan just read in Mark 16, every word. We've had the privilege of spending a fair bit of time with the great Argentinian revivalist Carlos Anacondia in Argentina for the last 4 years. And he says to me that the golden verse in Scripture is from Mark 16, verse 15 onwards. And those who believe in my name, they will. Do you believe those words? Are you believing believers? Or like the disciples back then, are you unbelieving believers? Do you believe if you put your hands on somebody's eyes and command them to open, that they will open? The anointing upon us in Patagonia, like we've only just come back, but the anointing was for blind eyes. It was incredible. Incredible. The Lord gave me 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the eyes of those who are perishing. And then I was led to Mark chapter 10, where Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. He's going to the cross about 9 days before his crucifixion. He calls his disciples as they're on the road, and he tells them everything that's going to happen to him in 9 days' time. He tells them that he's going to be handed over to the Gentiles, that he's going to be mocked, that he's going to be scourged, that his beard is going to be pulled out, that he's going to be spat on, that he's going to be crucified. He makes this clear to the 12. And he says, by the way, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Ooh. Hallelujah. You see, those words are true. Every single one of them. And in Patagonia, we unpack this truth. And do you know that as Jesus was on that road to Jerusalem, he went through a smallish place. We've been there, a place called Jericho. And there was a big crowd. And there was a beggar on the side of the road called Bartimaeus. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And the crowd told him to shut up. Don't disturb him. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus was persistent. He cried out again, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Jesus heard him this time, and he called him forward. Now, Bartimaeus had been begging for a long time, and he had a license to beg. That was in the form of a cloak, a beggar's cloak. And the minute Bartimaeus heard Jesus call him, do you know what he did? He took off his cloak and he threw it on the ground. And he walked forward to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you? Oh Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus put his hand on him and he said, I'm paraphrasing, "Bartimaeus, receive your sight." And do you know what happened? Bartimaeus received his sight. You see, that was a man of faith. Because the minute he took his cloak off, he knew that he would no longer need to beg again. Wow. Faith. We all need faith. We all need faith. Hallelujah. You see, what amazes me about that scripture is that Jesus knew exactly what he was facing in a few days' time, and yet he had time to stop and heal this blind man. In Patagonia, we saw many people with eyesight issues receive their sight. One example on the Wednesday night of the first week was a young girl called Nicole. And she had very thick glasses, and she had to rely on her friends in school to tell her what the teacher was writing on the blackboard. They still have blackboards in Patagonia, because she couldn't read it. And I gave an appeal after preaching on Bartimaeus for eyesight to be restored. And Nicole came forward with her mother. You guys, these guys were there. Oliver and Sarah and Julie, they were there. And Nicole reminded me of our eldest granddaughter, Hallie. And I put my hand on Nicole's eyes, asked her to take her glasses off. And I just said, "In the name of Jesus, eyes open." And I said, "Put your glasses back on, Nicole." This is all on our Facebook page. Or YouTube, whatever you call it. "Put your glasses back on." She put her glasses back on, and I asked her to read the words on the screen behind, and she said, it's no different. So what do I do next? Did Jesus pray for one blind person more than once? You remember the scripture? "Oh, well, I can see something like trees walking around in the background." What did Jesus say? "Okay, you can go home now. We're going to have your dinner." He said, "Let's pray again, boy." I said the same to Nicole. "Take your glasses back off. Put my hands in the name of Jesus. Be healed." And I asked her to look at the words on the screen. Now, this always gets me. This always breaks me. When people get their sight back and those words become 20/20 vision, first of all, there's a look of shock. And then there's the burst out of tears. And that's exactly what happened to Nicole. You are allowed to get excited. Yeah? This is a miracle, guys. Right? What you read about in Mark 16, what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he has anointed his whole church to do. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Well, the disciples didn't. They'd been with Jesus for what, 3.5 years? Mark chapter 10, he tells them exactly what's going to happen to them when they get to Jerusalem. He makes it plain and clear. Now, they've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Do you know Jesus healed everyone who went to him and asked to be healed? Do you know that? Everyone who went to Jesus and asked to be healed, he healed. Correct? You don't need a degree in theological studies to get this. He never turned anyone away. He never said, oh, I hung a lot of time today. I'm a little bit busy. Do you mind coming back tomorrow? No. Healed everyone who asked to be healed. He even healed some who did not ask to be healed. Can you think of any examples? Well, there's the Syrophoenician's daughter. There's the centurion's servant. What about Lazarus? He couldn't ask to be healed. He was dead. He'd been dead for 4 days. And yet when Jesus speaks the word, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus comes out. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and evermore. In Patagonia, we saw hundreds come to Christ. Many first-time commitments, many recommitting their lives. We saw miracle after miracle. We're just ordinary people filled with the Holy Spirit who believe every word that is written in the scripture that Alan just read. Every word. You see, Jesus said, you need faith the size of the smallest of all seeds. And you can say to this cancerous tumor, go, and it will go. Can you imagine what would happen in Thornhill if every one of us went out and just gently said to people, would you like me to pray for anything for you? Do you have any pain in any part of your body? And they said, yeah, we would like you to. And then they get healed. You'd need a bigger building within about a year. You see, in Patagonia, there is an open heaven. An open heaven. Ask the guys. And when you stop and talk to people on the streets and you ask them if they would like to come into a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to be bold and say, well, I didn't see one person refuse. Did you? No. Yes, please. It's what I've been looking for. And then you ask them if they want prayer for healing for anything, they'd say, yes, please. It's an open heaven. People are hungry for Jesus. And we love going to Argentina on mission. And of course, we want to come back to our families. But there's a part of us that wants to stay. Because do you know that you were privileged to live in this nation? Wales has had more revivals than any other nation. Between 1750 and 1850, this country experienced 15 major revivals and one smaller move of God every year for 100 years. Wow. 1850, massive revival took place. 15 years after that, 1865, 153 Welsh people emigrated to Patagonia. They built 35 Welsh chapels along the Shubert River. That's a distance of 750 kilometers. In 1904, when the Great Welsh Revival broke out, 100,000 souls plus fell on their knees in this country and said, yes, I want Jesus. That still happens in Patagonia today, because you see, not only did the Welsh take their Bibles with them, but they took the power of the Holy Ghost. We were invited into the Patagonian Parliament in Rawson, the capital. All 14 of us on the team. We were able to pray in the parliament. Every person in that parliament stood when I took them through a prayer of repentance, giving their lives to Jesus. Every single, it's all videoed. You see, when a government submits to Jesus, revival will come. We visited one of the chapels in Trevelin. And for 30 minutes, I observed 5 different people trying to open the door. These were the chapel custodians, whatever you call them. And the door would not open. They had different keys, different people, and this door would not open. I was stood back in the distance. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Paul, go and lay your hand on that lock and command the door to open. Now, I've got a lot of faith for eyes to open, for cancers to go, for joints to get healed, but never come across this one before, physically opening the door. Out of obedience, I went. I put my hand on the door. I said, in the name of Jesus, door open. All these people were behind me looking at me. He's lost his marbles. But do you know what happened to that door? Hallelujah! That's the power of our Jesus. And it is so prophetic, because what he is showing us is that we have an open door to Patagonia. We've been invited by many city mayors to go back next year. They will give us their stadiums free of charge. The parliament is behind us. They are hungry and desperate for another move of God. My prayer is that when that move explodes over there, we can bring it back to this country, which is the land of revival, but which sadly is now one of the most secular countries on the planet. Did you know that? About 1% of people in this land of revival would call themselves born again believing Christians. That's about 30,000 people. We have 76 registered Islamists. I don't like calling them Muslims. 76,000 registered Muslims in this country. 8 mosques in Swansea. How many in Cardiff? I don't know. This country is on the brink of an Islamic takeover. I'm telling you the truth. So unless the church rises up and wakes up, we're in trouble. But do you know what God can do with a remnant? Wow. With a remnant, if the church in this country unites and comes together and we all work together, we can take Wales for Jesus within a year. Fact. Thank you. Somebody agrees. The question is, do you believe? You see, in Mark 16, Alan read from verse 8. We spoke about a lady called Mary Magdalene. We don't know if she was a prostitute. The Bible doesn't say. It does say that she was a woman of ill repute. We know that Jesus drove 7 demons out of her. You see, when you're in a condition such as Mary Magdalene was, and he sets you free, you can do nothing but love him. Sarah and Noel, would you stand up and just come out here a sec? These guys are on our Kingdom Equipping School. We met them on a mission in Bangor, never seen them before. You wouldn't have recognized these 4 years ago. They were both extremely addicted to heroin, living on the streets. This lady did some stuff that she needed to do to feed her habit. But you see, Jesus has set them free, just like Mary Magdalene. And the love that they have for Jesus is off the scale. And that's all they want to see is people set free, people healed, people delivered of demons. They've only been saved 3 years. And yet when they go out there on the streets, when they lay hands on you, you get healed. Okay? Can you see what I'm saying, church? You may sit down. Give it up for these guys. Come on. You see, I just broke your microphone, Alan. Forgive me. It's the power of the Lord in the house. You see how Jesus uses ordinary people like you and me. That's all we got to do is go. That's all we have to do is go. So Mary Magdalene was the first for Jesus to appear to. What a privilege. Does God use women in ministry, in leadership? Yes. Yes, ladies? Yes. Hallelujah. He appears to Mary Magdalene and he goes, go and tell the boys that you've seen me. And by the way, tell Peter as well. There's another sermon in that. And she goes back and she tells them, I've seen the risen Lord. And they say, nah. Then there's two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and probably his wife, we don't know. And he walked with them for some time. Have you ever had that feeling like Daniel had yesterday in our Kingdom Equipping School, that your heart burns for the Lord? You know that feeling when you, do you recognize the presence of God tangibly every day in your lives? I want to more and more. So they walked with Jesus and they go back and tell the 11, Judas is gone. And what do they say? Nah. They've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He told them in Mark 10 what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. They saw lepers cleansed. They saw people rising from the dead. They saw many blind eyes open. In Patagonia last week, we had a guy who'd never spoken before, mute. I can't remember. Was it you that prayed for him? Who was it? Mark Wallace, one of our Kingdom Equipping School guys, laid hands on this mute man and he speaks for the first time ever. This stuff is for real, guys. If you don't believe it, if you don't grasp it, you're going to miss out big time. Remember what I said earlier? I tried to do the work of an evangelist in my own strength for the first 23 years. It don't work. It's only when we come into that place of total surrender that he can and will use us. Every one of you has the power and authority to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. All this is the truth. The church in Argentina believes it. They move in it. The church in Wales, we're not there yet. There was a time when we were and there was a time when we will be. If only we can work together, we can take the kingdom. Amen. We can take Cardiff for Jesus. I'm telling you, it's not difficult. Where was I? Oh yeah, so Cleopas and probably his wife, they go back and we've seen the risen Lord. No. Didn't Jesus say at one time, how much longer must I put up with you? Do you remember Peter and James and John? They'd been up on the mountain, the transfiguration. And they come down and the disciples are there. There's a young boy with epilepsy. Demonized. And they try to get the demon out and they can't do it. And the father goes to Jesus. And Jesus says, how much longer? And Jesus casts the demon out. And a little later he says to them, he said, you see, this type can only come out by prayer and fasting. What he's talking about there is a lifestyle. You see, Jesus's lifestyle was one of prayer and fasting. It's not a specific prayer and a specific fast for a specific thing. It's a lifestyle. Lord, help me to get into a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. Help me, Jesus. Lord, help me to be more intimate with you. Help me to love you more. It's my daily prayer. Because I'm not there yet. I'm a long way away as to where he wants me to be. That I know. But every day is a school day. We're all a work in progress. The question is, do we want to be on this journey with him? Or are we just content turning up for church once a Sunday? Maybe an Alpha course on a Wednesday? I don't know. But it's not enough, is it? So they disbelieve the report. They disbelieve that Jesus has risen from the dead. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They saw the son of the widow of Nain come out of his coffin. Can you imagine that? Going to a funeral and wow. This is my Jesus. This is your Jesus. And he's the same yesterday, today and evermore. Wow. Then Jesus appears to them himself. The 11. They gathered around the table. What's the first thing he does? Can you remember? He rebukes them for their hardness of heart. Oh Lord, keep my heart soft. Please, Lord, do not let my heart become hardened. He rebukes them for their hardness of heart. And then you see out of his love for them, post-rebuke, he encourages them. We all need encouragement, don't we? He encourages them. And he says, despite your disbelief, despite your hardness of heart, I'm still going to use you. And he says to them, but you, us, go. Not stay. Yes, you need a local church. You need a church base. This is a wonderful church. If I lead people to Jesus on the streets out there, I would say, come and speak to Alan. Come and speak to Pastor Math. Come and speak to Stuart. Get into the church. But the main message too, you see, whose church is this? It's Jesus' church. He says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. Sometimes it feels as if they are prevailing, but they will not prevail. That's his promise. He's building his church. Got to think where I was at then. Hang on. Encouragement. You go into the whole world. That includes Thornhill. And preach this gospel. That doesn't mean you've got to be a gobby evangelist like me and stand on a platform. You can preach one-to-one in Tesco's, in Sainsbury's. Littles is our preferred, but it doesn't matter. Good selection. Preach the gospel. What's the gospel, guys? What is the gospel? Where'd you go in the Bible for the most succinct summary of the gospel? It's not John 3:16. That is not the gospel. It's a beautiful verse. I've got a t-shirt with it on from my daughter at the back. It's not the gospel. Always go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 7. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. And Jesus was seen by over 500 people. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and he was seen. That's the gospel. You see, without the resurrection, there is no gospel. So he says, go into, and he's addressing you and me, go into the whole world and preach this gospel to every creature. To everyone. And those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Wow. What a privilege to be saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'll come close once. I told you 30 years ago. Do it now. Do it now. Take that Kokodomo. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. And preach this gospel to every creature. And those who do not believe will be condemned. That's being cut off from God forever. There are no dress rehearsals in life. And if you're not right with Jesus today, I'm going to give you that invitation. Because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. And then he goes on to say this. I think it's verse 16 or 17. Now, don't forget, he's just rebuked them for their unbelief. And he says this. And those who believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with other tongues. They will take up serpents. Paul on Malta. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. You won't see that bit in any other of the Gospels. I didn't really know what it meant until about 6 months ago. We were praying on a healing line. A lady came forward and she'd been seriously ill for 3 months. Vomiting and diarrhea. Seriously ill. 3 months. And it turned out that she'd drunk some water with a parasite in. and this parasite had infected her intestines. We laid hands on her. For some reason, she just hit the deck. The power of God. When I pray for people, I try to hold them up. But the power of God was so strong on this lady, and her name was Rhiannon. She hit the deck, and she stood up, and she said, "I know I am healed." She confirmed it a few days later. No more sickness. You see, that's the power of our Jesus. Yeah, you can applaud him. Come on. That's the power of the God that we serve. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. And when they lay their hands on the sick, they will recover. That's our Jesus. That's the power. Acts 1:8 says this: you will receive dunamis power, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you haven't been baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit yet, today's your chance. The Apostle Paul tells us to go on being filled. Yesterday in our Kingdom Equipping School, so many people were filled. Speak to young Daniel about what that means. Wow. Filled with his love, with his compassion. When I prayed for that little girl, Nicole, with the eyes, it was the compassion that the Lord gave me for her, as well as the faith, of course, but the compassion. And you see, when Jesus ministered, it was out of compassion. The ministry that we do must be based on love, pure love, his love. When you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. We saw many, many miracles in Patagonia. We continue to see miracles. I'm praying for extraordinary miracles, not just the normal stuff, you know, the eyes and the ears, extraordinary miracles. And then we saw the door flung open. But you know what the greatest miracle of all is? If you read in Luke chapter 10, this is when Jesus sends out the 70 or the 72, depending on which translation you use. He told them to go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick. He gave them power and authority over all demons. At the end of it, they came running back. They were excited, as you are when you see these things. And they said to him, "Lord, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." You see, this was a new ministry. You won't read about that in the Old Testament. You see, Jesus had taken back the keys and given the keys of the kingdom to us. He looked at them and he said, "Do not rejoice in this, that the demons submit to you in my name. Instead, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." That's the greatest miracle of all. My question is, are your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know with 100% certainty that if you were to die tomorrow, that you would go straight to heaven? Or is there any doubt? You see, it's God's will that not one should perish. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and you confess, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you and that's me. Every one of us has messed up in life. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve eternal life with Jesus. Not one of us are good enough. We could never do it ourselves. All have sinned, all, me particularly, and fall short of his glory. And then we skip forward three chapters to Romans 6:23, which says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we all deserve. We're unworthy, we're not worthy of heaven. Apart from him, we deserve nothing. The second part of that verse in Romans 6:23 says this. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see, he is the only one that could pay the price for my sin and your sin. He was the lamb without blemish. He never did anything wrong. So all he did was go around and love people, heal them, set them free. Ask Mary Magdalene, ask Sarah Hanwell what it means to be set free from heroin addiction that destroys your life. What does it mean to be set free from fear and anxiety? There are many people in here, you're struggling with anxiety. I did for years. The Lord wants to set you free. You see, those lashings that he took was for your healing. The woman with the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of the garment, he looked at her, he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. He wasn't just talking about the physical ailment, but the spiritual, the emotional, the guilt, the shame, the filth, 12 years. An outcast. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. And he only needed to do it once. At the end, he said, it is finished for you and me. The self-sacrificial Lamb of God. He who takes away the sin of the world. He who John the Baptist declared that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Those of you, the least of you in the kingdom of God, are greater than John the Baptist. The words of Jesus. My question to you today is, do you believe? Lord, help me in my unbelief. Are you unbelieving believers like the disciples? Do you really believe that when you lay your hands on the sick, they will recover? Because if you believe it, you'll go and do it. You'll have no doubt. Do you really believe? Do you really know Jesus? I'm speaking here from a platform of love, not judgment, love. Because God wants everyone with him in his kingdom. In eternity. Hell is a real place. It wasn't prepared for humans. It was prepared for Satan and his demons. It's God's will that not one should perish. Do you really know him? We're going to pray after for those who've got pain in their bodies, and you will get healed. But first and foremost, my appeal is this. If you don't yet know Jesus, if you're not 100% sure. You see, going to church every Sunday does not make you a Christian, does it? Is that right? Praying 9 hours a day, reading your Bible 12 hours a day, taking communion, putting some money in the offering, that doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is true surrender to him. Remember, 23 years, I refused to surrender. And then finally, my moment came. He broke me. Broke me. I'm so glad he did. Because from the brokenness, he can rebuild. I'm going to give you an invitation. I'm not going to prolong this. But if you're not 100% sure, that if tomorrow something really bad happened to you, would you go straight to heaven? We did this on 12 occasions in Patagonia, in spirit-filled churches, and the people run forward to make sure. Sometimes there's a delay. So my prayer is, Holy Spirit, bless these lovely people. Convict them of their need of you. Convict me of my need of you, Jesus. Empower us with your Holy Spirit to believe everything that you say. I'm going to open up this altar now. If you know you need to get right with Jesus right now, I want you to come forward. I'm going to give you a big Welsh hug. I know there's people out there, you need to get right with God. You might have lost your first love. He never turns away from you. Who are you? Jesus is waiting. Come and give your life to Jesus. Do away with pride. Come and get right with him, the King of glory. Who are you? See, Jesus says this. If you refuse to confess me before people, I will refuse to confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you do confess me before people, I will willingly confess you before my Father in heaven.